Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the OM Times Radio Network.
Angela Levesque. I'm coming to you live this beautiful morning from the foothills of the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. I'm so excited to speak with my guest and best-selling author and warrior goddess, Heather Ash Amara, and we are talking all about the subject of her book, Warrior Goddess Training, Become the Woman You Are Meant to Be. So very excited. I've had the opportunity to interview Heather Ash before, as well as attend one of her workshops that was around the book, Warrior Goddess Training. So I have some very personal experience with my guest today, and I'm excited to talk very in-depthly about that. Next week, I will be off on vacation with my family, just enjoying some lazy lake days and national parks, and I'm just really quite excited for that. But I will be coming back live the following week with Dr. Eric Pearl. Many of you probably know Dr. Pearl. He is the founder of Reconnective Healing, and we are going to be talking about that, his latest book, Solomon Speaks. And I actually have taken his training, and he is quite a character. So I'm excited to bring some of my personal insights to that interview as well. If you need to get a hold of me at any time during the week, you can email me at angela@hestiahealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. And if you just want to know more about me and what I do and the services I offer, you can find that all on my website at Hestia Health. So today we are talking about not enoughness. And I can't even tell you how many times that little seed has shown up in the decisions I've made and some of the decisions I've not made because of that. And it seems to be something that now I am so much more conscious of. When I see it kind of showing up, I'm able to call it and not get so caught up on it. But that's not to say that it doesn't still show up in my life. And so I think that this has, you know, in my work with clients and the teaching that I do, I've got to say that this is one of the things, and not even just for women, but the idea that we are inadequate in some way, that we're not pretty enough, smart enough, that we don't have what it takes to complete whatever task we've been asked to do. And I think this is something that definitely plagues our Western culture. In this individualistic society, just feeling like we have to always be in a competition. We've always got to be the best. We've always got to show up in a way that people can see that there is this level of success. And I think it does a huge amount of damage to ourselves and really inhibits us from living the life that we really want. So we are going to talk about these ideas of should and expectation and not enoughness, and see what happens when we do invite the warrior spirit with the goddess energy and talk about this really, this book that actually had a really profound impact on my life. So with that, let me introduce my guest. Heather Ash Amara is the founder of TOSI, the Toltec Center of Creative Intent, and the author of Warrior Goddess Training, How to Become the Woman You Are Meant to Be, and the Toltec Pack of Path of Transformation, Embracing the Four Elements of Change. She lives in Austin, Texas, and travels extensively. So with that, I feel very honored and blessed to welcome Heather Ash to the program. Hi, Heather. Ash, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks so much, Angela, for having me on Entanglement Radio.
Well, I am so excited because I have interviewed you on my previous show, and it was right at this time that I kind of had enough of this not enoughness, because I could call it and I could see it, and yet it would still show up. And so I had read your book and I started working through it, and then I was able to attend your workshop. And I want to bring some pieces of that in this conversation, because it was really a turning point. There was a lot of transformation that happened. So I'm just really excited to have you on here. So let's start, though, with the idea, because the book is called Warrior Goddess Training. Tell us a little bit about the aspects of the warrior and the aspects of the goddess that have come together?
The warrior energy is our commitment, our focus, that place of 100% yes. And I think about the warrior energy as like a cat. If you see a cat playing with a mouse or playing with a feather, they bring 100% of their attention to what they're looking at. And if they attack and they miss, they shake it off usually and then go right back to 100% focus. So that's our warrior, is learning how to get totally present 100% for us here. The goddess energy is our creativity, our openness, our receptivity, and learning to work with the energy flow of life, to work with the cycles of life. The warrior energy tends to be very focused on, I'm going here. And the goddess energy says, excellent. How will I get there? How will I bring as many of my friends? How will I have pleasure along the way? And the two energies then support each other. They're both really important for us as humans to have. And it's not that we're trying to get to 50% warrior and 50% goddess. That would just be making up another rule of who we should be. We're really wanting to find out, get curious, investigate, open to what's our expression, what's our authentic expression of these energies. Some of us are more warrior oriented, some of us are more goddess oriented, and some of us are right in the middle. So we get to learn about and become intimate with ourselves and also gain skills perhaps on using each of these energies in particular places as they're needed.
I like that, because it's not that it's not we're bringing 50-50 to every situation, that there's times that requires the more warrior energy, the warrior spirit, and then there's times that requires the softer, the nuanced, more goddess energy. And I think that that's I think that sometimes we think that we have to show up in the same way all the time. You know, we have roles in our lives, we have ideas, expectations, and I think that sometimes we think that, oh, I always have to show up as the strong one, or I'm the person that always has everything put together. And so I like that there's this, that we get to be a blended person, and we get to allow different aspects, different sides of ourselves to shine when it's appropriate. Is that, do I kind of got it right?
You do, exactly. Exactly. So that we become more fluid and present with what's needed or what's arising within us.
So as you, to me, you know, I said in my little monologue that this idea of not enoughness seems to, it's so pervasive in our culture. It's just everywhere. And I think that we have, you know, media and advertising and all of that that kind of plays on that fear that we're not enough. If you just buy this, or if you just had this in your house, or that, you know, then you would be happy, rich, successful, whatever it is. So what is this? Do you think that this is kind of culminating in this time, that it's more important to have like a book like Warrior Goddess Training out right now? Or do you think this is something that has always been part of human nature?
I feel like it's been part of human nature for quite a while, and that there's also a hunger, a really deep hunger right now for women to move past that. We've really, as women, we've gained a lot of external freedoms. So we have the freedom to vote, to mate with who we want, to work wherever we want. And that's relatively new in the last 100 to 50 years. Not too many generations that are experiencing the amount of freedom in the Western culture, at least, that we have as women. And so because of that, my sense is that we're now starting to look inside and realize we don't have as much freedom on the inside. There's still places that we're chained to not enoughness, that we're judging ourselves constantly, that we're comparing ourselves, that we're criticizing ourselves. So our inner world isn't as light and happy and spacious and connected as it could be. And there's a paradigm shift right now that women are really saying yes to themselves, that that's important as their careers or their family or the roles that they're playing. is now coming back into relationship, coming back home is how I see it, to ourselves, and letting go of those old shoulds and musts and can'ts and not enoughness.
And this warrior goddess energy, it's not just about being a homemaker or being a businesswoman, that there is, you can still embody these things regardless of the way that, you know, you choose to live your life. Is that correct as well? Because I think in that there's so many shoulds. Like, I was a stay-at-home mom for quite a while, and, you know, sometimes people would give me the, oh, you know, they'd give me the head tilt, like, oh, you know, like they felt bad for me that I was staying home instead of it being a conscious choice. And then there's, you know, some women who work all the time and are wanting that, wishing that they could stay home. So there isn't just one path or one way that this looks like.
Absolutely. And the path is around getting to what's authentic to us. And there's a lot of agreements and beliefs and thoughts and people's opinions about what that should look like. But really, we need to do the deep work of shedding those old shoulds and have to's to get down to our core truth about what's our expression, what's our choice, and really honoring our choice. We're so geared to look outside and to be what we think we're supposed to be. And so the Warrior Goddess movement is about, with love, letting go of I must, I should, I have to, and coming home to what's my truth. And that takes time sometimes. There's been a lot of, for some of us, decades where we've lived from the outside in, and we're now learning to live from the inside out.
Well, when we get back, I want to talk about rewriting our old stories, which for me was one of the most powerful exercises. So we're talking to Heather Ashimara, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque. We'll be right back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on OM Radio.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the Om Times Radio Network. If you're just joining us today, we have best-selling author and warrior goddess Heather Ash Amara, and we are talking about the subject of her book, Warrior Goddess Training, Become the Woman You Are Meant to Be. So in your book, you talk about releasing old stories, and this to me was just the most powerful exercise that I could have done. Because of course, my old story was I was a black sheep and I grew up in a family where nobody understood me and da-da-da-da-da-da. And so as I went and I went to your workshop and you said one of the things that really, really stuck with me is that that story is both true and not true. And that to me was, you know, at first it was like, well, what do you mean? Of course it's true. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. And then all of a sudden, as we're talking about it and you're explaining it, which I'm hoping you're going to do right now, is that it really opened up some possibilities. It really opened up the idea that I could see that old black sheep story in a completely new light. So can you speak a little bit about that?
We create stories to help us explain and understand our world. And those stories can open us or they can close us. The stories are created by agreements that we make, by our perception. And really, our perception is the most powerful tool we have. The word Toltec means artist of the spirit. And the Toltecs were a group of people that came together in South and Central Mexico to study how we create our reality. And one of the main teachings is this idea around when we recapture our attention, our perception, and make new choices, then our whole life can change. And so the stories we tell ourselves about the past sometimes are really compelling and we believe this is absolutely the truth. There's no other way. If we're willing, though, to open up and to look again, to use our perception with new eyes and to ask ourselves, is this story really serving me? How does it make me feel when I talk about it? Where does it make me want to put my energy? What I noticed for myself is that I had a story, and we all have many, many stories, but I had one particular story that every time I shared it around my childhood, I felt drained, I felt sorry for myself, and all the energy just went flat. And so I ran an experiment and I said, okay, well, what if I just change the story? And when I shifted it, everything changed. And I realized what you said, that piece of that, the stories are true, but they're also not true. Because we're creating the perception of them. We're choosing which bits of information to gather to tell the story. And if you look at the story again, you'll see there's also other data that can completely write a different story. So if we're not attached to the story, if we're ready to change it, if we feel like it's ripe, then the shift can be profound, but we have to be ready and feel like, yeah, this isn't serving me any longer, and have some spaciousness around it. And then it becomes fun to recreate. How else do you want to talk to yourself about your past? What would serve you more about any given situation in how you talk to yourself and to others about it?
Mm-hmm. So much power in that, because now, you know, like you said, I was ready. It was ripe for me to let that go. And now as I look at that, I think, wow, you know, it's allowed me to be a really great teacher, and it's allowed me to really see a lot of people's points of view. Because growing up, when people didn't, you know, I had a worldview that was very different than the people around me, but it wasn't a wrong or right, or, you know, it was just like, wow, that's interesting that we can both come from such different places. And to me, there's so much openness and possibility in that thought than, you know, I was ostracized, I was a black sheep, nobody understood me. And I like the potential and the energy that the new story contains, and still sort of understanding that it's both true and not true than the very limited, you know, nobody, oh, woe is me, nobody understood me.
Yes. Yeah. So beautiful. And it's so exciting because the whole world can open up again. And we realize there's rooms for everybody's story, and we get to choose what ours is. So sometimes other people put stories on us that we carry around thinking we have to hold that story, but we don't. It might be somebody else's story. There's places that we just get caught up in how we think about the past or about even the present, that when we look again, we can see through the eyes of creativity and possibility rather than the eyes of judge and victim, which is how we often look at ourselves.
Absolutely. Judge and victim. You talk about the difference between being in judgment and discerning. And I thought discernment is such a beautiful word, and it's a word I hear more and more these days, which I love. So can you tell us a little bit about the difference between being in judgment and using discernment?
With judgment, we're using our critical mind, and it always has an emotional component of closure, of comparison, of not enoughness. So judgment comes from fear and from scarcity and doesn't feel good, whether we're judging ourselves or we're judging somebody else. And discernment is when we're witnessing a situation and we're choosing, yes, this works for me. No, this doesn't work for me. It comes from a place of deep acceptance, of love, of presence. And we're not making it, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is the way it should be. We're opening to, there's a lot of points of view, and discerning what works for me and what doesn't work for me. With discernment, we don't have to defend, we don't have to explain. There's no residue when we're discerning something. So it's a wonderful way to begin to transform our internal landscape by exploring what does discernment feel like versus judgment. Mm-hmm. And always there's more spaciousness in discernment. And the judge just makes a lot of messes.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And even as you're saying that, like you said, that there's just an openness to that idea that that judgment is very closed. It's very contracted. And just being open to that exploration, that growth, and that discovery of ourselves, to me, is just such a more powerful place to come from. I want to shift and talk about, you had mentioned at the beginning about this idea of cyclical, of living in cycles. It's kind of part of the goddess and understanding these. And that's another really thing, really something that I connected very deeply in your book, is this idea of living within the cycles, that there is both this linear and cyclical way of looking at the world. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yes, we're often trained in linear thinking, which says if I do A and B and C, then I'll get D. And unfortunately, we often take linear thinking to say things like, well, when I just lose that 10 pounds or have the right partner, then I'll love myself, or then I'll know I'm okay, or then I'll be spiritual if I do my spiritual practice every day. So we often use it against ourselves. Cyclical thinking, so when we start to go back into harmony with the seasons, we learn and remember that everything cycles through, that there's beginnings and endings, and that the beginnings can be just as beautiful as the endings. In linear living, the way we are doing it now, we tend to only want the beginnings. We want to be young, we want to be fresh, we want to start over again, we want to have new things happening, and we often avoid the endings as somehow bad. So when we come back into harmony with life, there's life and there's death. There's light and there's darkness, and they're all beautiful and they're all really important. And what I've found is as we start loving all of the cycles from spring to winter, so the beauty of new buds to the coldness and death of winter, that we're not as reactive in our life, that we slow down and we love the different aspects of what's happening for us rather than thinking it should be a different way. So there's a peace that comes when we come back into cyclical living, and that we can use linear focus. That's very important, but that that's held within the cycles.
Yeah. In your book, you talk about, you know, linear living for, dealing with your checkbook or following a recipe, that there's some very advantageous situations where, you know, following a step-by-step linear process is works for you, but that understanding that that is used within that larger cycle. And I just thought that that was a beautiful reminder, because we everything in our life is about, is very left brain, is very rational and step by step, and I think that we miss out in that beautiful kind of goddess energy. Would you say that the warrior energy is more linear?
Yes, it's more linear, and a really good warrior also knows the cycles very deeply. So they're embedded. It's that same feeling of that it is more linear, but the linear is still held within the cycles.
Do you feel that because reading Carlos Castaneda and some other people who talk about Toltec wisdom, do you think that having an understanding of the warrior from a traditional Toltec perspective brings something to this understanding of the warrior goddess training?
Definitely. Yes. Yeah. So the work of Castaneda and the different Toltec teachers, the warrior energy is really a big focus of much of the Toltec work, very powerful energy, and it's the energy of what we call stalker. So stalking energy is the capacity to follow prey over days, to know where your prey sleeps, where it feeds, where it eats. And that what we're learning to do is stalk ourselves, or what the Toltec call a parasite, which is the part of us that's judge, victim, critic, to really learn what are our patterns, what are our habits, what do we do in our mind, where does our mind go, where does our emotional body go. And through that stalking, that warrior stalking, very powerful change can happen.
All right, when we get back, I want to continue this conversation and learn how a warrior goddess would describe things such as power, success, and community. We'll be back with Heather Ashimara on Entanglement Radio.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, sea-edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Live with medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your hosts on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right. Welcome back. You're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the OM Times Radio Network. My guest again today is best-selling author and warrior goddess Heather Ash Amara. And we are talking about the subject of her book, Warrior Goddess Training, Become the Woman You Are Meant to Be. So in your book, because a lot of it does come from Toltec teachings, you actually have you talk about some of the language that you use that is unique. So I wanted to ask from the warrior goddess perspective, how would you describe something like power?
Great question. Power is about our capacity to be connected to ourself, to our truth, and to our resiliency. So most of us have learned about power over, which is that we have power if we have the right job, if we have the right car, if we have the right partnership, that we get power from the outside. I see power as innate power. It's our own inner resources. So it's power from the inside. And that power is about our vulnerability as well as our strength. It's about our honesty. It's about loving the parts of us that are tender and nourishing the parts of us that are strong. And so real power embraces all of us, our emotions, our physical body, our mental being, and our energetic body. And that we, to go back to what we were talking about before, is like often the old form of power, the old paradigm of power, is around judgment and power over. And what we're moving into is a new paradigm of power from within that is about discerning what's needed at the moment, and that we can use just the right amount of energy, resources, of our presence, and that we're always clear about what our intent is, where we're going as we walk our path.
Well, I want to ask you personally, because I think a lot of our idea of not enoughness comes from our perception of what we believe success looks like. And I think that so much, you know, we that is our barometer, is how successful we are. And I think often sometimes we don't personally really think about how we define success. It's just kind of this, like you said, this outside thing. How, for yourself personally, do you define success?
I love these questions. So for me, success is a feeling sense. It's about how I feel about myself and how aligned I am with how I'm sharing my gifts. And so it doesn't have to do with what's happening on the outside. It's a feeling on the inside. And it's really how I talk to myself. So for me, success, you can be a millionaire, you can have the best partner possible, you can live in the most amazing house and not be successful in the way of the inside. If you're insecure or if you're judging yourself constantly, it doesn't matter how much comes from the outside, there's still a lack on the inside. So success is around our own connection to our heart in relationship to ourself, and that we've let go of what we call the image of perfection. So many of us walk around with this being next to us, which is who we think we're supposed to be. That's our idea of success. If I'm this, then I'll be successful. But the truth is, you never can get there. I once spent a good year running an experiment, checking in with myself. Okay, I'm going to do everything that my judge says I should be doing. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed is when I hit the mark, it changed the rules. suddenly it was like, no, you're not really, that's not really working. That's not really success. This is really success. So you can't win from that point of view. Success comes when we let go of the image of who we're supposed to be, when we let go of that perfectionism and come back to who we are and love that. Then everything we do is successful because we're excited and curious and we cheerlead ourselves on. And everything is about learning and growing. So even the most difficult, challenging mistake, while it might be rough to get through, we use to support ourselves and our growth rather than using it to tear ourselves down. That's success in my book.
I love that. And I, how does the warrior goddess deal with their, what people would call the shadow side or those dark places within us that most of us try and hide from the public or from people around us?
We really learn to embrace all of it. And that's part of living in the cycles, is that for us as humans, we have parts that are light and wonderful and beautiful and kind. And we have parts of us that are closed-minded and mean and punishing. And that when we bring all of it in our embrace, in our love, then we can choose what parts we want to act on without repressing other parts. Somebody gave me a great analogy. It's if we don't look at or own our shadow parts, the parts of ourselves that we don't like, it's like we're taking a beach ball and pushing it underwater. And it takes tremendous energy to keep it under the water. And that's the same thing with our shadow. So, and it's also going to pop up and bunk us in the head at some point. So when we are willing to let go and let ourselves see what we don't want to see and be vulnerable in that way and own our faults and own the places that we struggle or own the places that we're judgmental, then there's a peace that starts to come, a more spaciousness within ourselves. And we are not trying to be something else. We just are ourselves. And ourself is messy sometimes and emotional sometimes and frustrated sometimes. And there's a humor, almost like a humor that starts to run through everything, is what I've noticed. You know, I'll make a big spectacular mistake and then I'll be like, oh, wow, that was a good mistake. Good job. Or I'll see a bit of shadow and it's like, oh yeah, come on, sweetie. Come on over here. You come forward so we can see you and make new choices.
That's a good way of looking at it. You know, I was walking through the neighborhood with my son the other day and we walked by this very nice house and it has a pool and he goes, Mom, that's not fair. How come they have a pool and we don't have a pool? And that's one of the things that you talk about. We've talked about the judge, but there's also that victim that's pretty powerful within us that it's not fair. And I would think even there's another side of that where there's a rise of people having this very strong sense of entitlement. And I wonder, how do you walk that balance, I guess, between, first with feeling like having that sense of power, but not being drowned by a sense of entitlement.
Mm, yes. When we come into right alignment with power, we realize that we're no better or no worse than anyone else. There's a sense of humility. And we realize we're part of a huge world of many different perceptions and points of view, and that ours is no better than anybody else's, and it's also no less than anybody else's. We're one point of perception in many billions of points of perception. And as we open more, we recognize that everybody has a right to have a choice, to make the choice they want to make. That sense of entitlement that we might have, which is what we do when we don't feel self-worth, then we put on top of it self-importance, entitlement, I am good enough, and we use that to push our way through the world. As we begin to love ourselves and get full on the inside, the old places of entitlement or I have to be special or I'm supposed to do it a particular way, they start to drop off naturally because we're busy enjoying our lives, is the truth, and enjoying everybody else's perspective and respecting that. There's a big piece is that when we respect our dream and the way that we create our life, we can also respect others' dreams and learn from them, both what works for us and what doesn't work for us. And that's part of that discernment again, which is a big piece of inner power.
And being able to look at somebody's pool and say, wow, great for them. That's a beautiful pool, without it being a reflection of what you don't have or what you think isn't fair in your life. So that's something that goes to my next question about community, because that was one of the big themes too when I went to your workshop, is you talked about finding your tribe and community. And I think it's hard to be in community if you're always looking at, well, look what that person has, or they have this. Why don't I have that? Haven't I worked hard enough to have that? And so we have a couple, a minute and a half before the break. I would love for you to share what your idea of community is and why it's such an important part of the warrior goddess.
Community is so valuable because it helps us to learn about ourselves. It reflects where we're going, and we model off of each other. So with a good community of people that are on the same path, that are looking the same direction, that are excited and curious, then we get to be supported in a way maybe we've never been supported before. We get to feel what it's like to be seen unconditionally. And we also get to learn from other people's growth and other people's mistakes. There's a way that when we're in community, we're more than ourselves. We're supported to become ourselves. And we're also supported to get out of our narrow ways of thinking and to recognize that our way of thinking isn't the only way of thinking. It's one of many. And we also can drop more and more into that place of being held in a new way, being inspired, being seen. And so many of us crave being really seen for who we are now, not who we think we're supposed to be. So those are all gifts of community, as well as the energy that happens when we come together as a group. We become more than we can be as individuals.
Well, when we get back, I want to ask about some of your favorite stories that you've heard as you've done workshops and spread the message of this book. And I want to share a little bit about my experience with your workshop. So we'll do that more here on Integument Radio with Angela Levesque. We'll be right back.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
All right, we're back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the Om Times Radio Network. My guest again today is Heather Ash Amara, and we are talking about the subject of her book, Warrior Goddess Training. This segment of the show is where we like to bring it on home, and it's brought to you by Hestia Health, calming minds, opening hearts, creating inspired lives. You can find out more about myself and what I do going to HestiaHealth.com. So I want to share a little. So you had come here in November, and we had a workshop based on the principles in the book, and then it culminated in this beautiful bonfire firewalk ceremony. And I had never participated in a firewalk before, but what was so amazing to me, and this still sticks with me, and I think about it all the time, is that, you know, you said that fire burns, and yet you're going to walk across fire today, well, on hot coals, to be correct, but and you're not going to burn. So what are these other ideas that are less true that you're holding on to that you can let go? And that to me was so, it's something that I think about all the time, that these are constructs, these are ideas, these are myths, these stories that I tell myself, that I get to decide consciously today if that still holds true for me, if it still serves me, or is it something that I can, you know, let burn up in the fire and let it go. And that was such a, like I said, a transformational moment for me, just realizing how much my thoughts can keep me in one place. And thank you for that, because that was just such a beautiful lesson.
You're so welcome. The firewalk is such a great gift because it's an immediate reflection. One of the first things we learned is fire burns. And so when you just seeing somebody walk across 1100 degree coals, that agreement snaps, and every agreement you've made since then suddenly becomes suspect. So I love the way the firewalk opens our minds and helps us to create new stories that are more based in the present rather than dragging along those stories that are based in the past of who we thought we should be or who we're supposed to be.
Yes. It was such a beautiful experience. And I wanted to ask you if you could share a couple of your favorite stories that you've heard as you've shared the message of the warrior goddess.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones was at a workshop in Austin recently, and it was a woman who had been a spiritual teacher and a guide and was also in a very abusive relationship. And she finally left the relationship, and she also left her community. And when she did that, she felt she had created this whole matrix of she was a bad person because she shouldn't be a spiritual teacher and have been being abused behind the scenes. So she created this whole matrix around how she was letting everybody down and it was her fault and that she wasn't a good person. So I was watching these two women. I didn't know what was going on, but I was watching these two women share their old stories. And she was sharing her story. She's very attached to it. This is my story. This is how much I screwed up. This is how I've ruined my life. And all of a sudden, these two women looked at each other and they started laughing hysterically. And it just shattered because she realized, wow, I don't have to carry this anymore. This is a big, heavy story that I just made up, basically. You know, who says that I have to be a particular way? And then I'd have to now punish myself for years about that. So there's a way that when we're willing to share our story with someone that can receive it neutrally and with love, that there's a possibility of transformation. And that was a big one. This woman went from being very closed down and upset and scared to going, whoa, I can do anything. It's beautiful.
And I think that's... those women laughing at her obviously wasn't, it came from a very nice space. And that's something now that you've mentioned a few times is being able to see the humor in yourself, in the situations, and that that can be a very adaptive response that can help you get out of that place of self-importance, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. when we start realizing how silly our minds are and how crazy some of the thoughts are, and not take them so seriously and not take them as personally as we do, then we can open up to see the lightness of it and to see the humor. And that goes a long way. So humor creates more spaciousness within us when done with love.
There's one thing up that I want to talk about before we have to start wrapping up. And I thought this was really interesting. And in one of the first chapters in Purifying Your Vessel, you talk about creating a container for yourself. And that to me was something that just gave me such a good idea, a good picture of wholeness of what that means. Can you explain what creating a container is about?
Yeah, it's recognizing that how I see it is that we're all temples. We're all these vessels of energy and life. And that when we create a container for ourself, we're embracing all of ourself. We're saying yes, and we're owning our energy. We're owning our life. We're taking responsibility. And responsibility doesn't mean being in blame or shame for what we've done in the past. Taking responsibility means knowing I can choose to change. I can choose to forgive. I can choose to let go. I can choose to start again. So a container is our compassion. It's our love. It's our presence with ourself. Most of us abandon ourselves a lot. So if there's something we don't like about ourselves, we judge ourselves. That's abandonment. If we do something that we are upset about and repeat it over and over again, we're abandoning ourselves because we're not really showing up with the magnificence and the beauty of who we are. We're using experiences against ourselves. And so creating a container is a holding that really changes everything. We stop looking for other people to keep us steady or to hold us or to tell us we're good enough. We start claiming, I am good enough. I will support myself. I will not abandon myself. And it's a practice, like so many of the other lessons in the book. They're practices that will take some time to integrate.
Is there another, you actually, in the book, there are many, many, many exercises. So in addition, because I always ask the authors this, so in addition to getting your book, what is the, is there one or two exercises that, you know, my listeners could try out today to help them explore this warrior goddess energy?
Yes. So one of my favorite exercises is around really simple, becoming aware of how we're talking to ourselves. This is not the most pleasant of exercises, but it's a foundational warrior goddess one, because in order to make change, we need to be aware of what we're doing. And that awareness then is we open up through our day and start noticing how am I talking to myself and what's my energy doing. So for example, I was in a bookstore once in front of all these books, and I was really excited about it. And then I went to my car and I checked myself. I became aware and realized, oh, I'm depressed and I feel flattened and I feel hopeless. What happened? So I went back, really opened my awareness, went back. And what I recognized is that when I was standing in front of all those books, what my voice was saying, what my judge was saying is, look at all these books. Everything's already been written about. Why do you want to choke the world with another book? Just give up. You shouldn't write a book. It's already been written. If I hadn't had the awareness, I may have never written Warrior Goddess Training. But because I had that awareness and then made a new choice to say, oh, thank you, Judge, for sharing. And I know I have a gift to share. Then that allowed me to step towards my dreams rather than believing my past or my fears.
Well, I have to stop you there. I want to give you an opportunity to share websites where people can get your book, anything else you'd like to leave my listeners with today.
Yeah, the main website's warriorgoddess.com. And for everybody that buys a copy of the book, I have an 11-day online free Warrior Goddess boot camp, which is fabulous. So you can learn more about that at warriorgoddess.com. And then my personal website is heatherashamara.com. And that website lists all the workshops and classes and events that are coming up. And I have some really beautiful online programs that are different lengths. There's some 12-week classes, there's some 4-week, and there's a longer apprenticeship cycle as well. So you can learn more about that there.
Well, Heather Ash, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the program. I just really enjoyed it. And as I mentioned to you in an email, I read excerpts from your book in all sorts of classes I teach. I'm just huge fan. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Angela.
All right. Again, you can go to her website at heatherashamara.com, or you can go to warriorgoddess.com. Next week, we are going to be playing, I think, Dr. Stephen Harefield and talking about the metaphysical interpretation of the Bible, and that will be a rebroadcast, and then I will be back live the following week with Dr. Eric Pearl, who is the founder of Reconnective Healing and just a very interesting person. We're going to be talking about Reconnective Healing as well as his latest work, Solomon Speaks. And then the rest of the August, we are talking about the Gene Keys. We're talking about seamless living, all sorts of wonderful stuff coming up. You can find out more at my website at hestiahealth.com. Coming up next on the Om Times Radio Network is Equilarium FM with Claire Johnston, and she's going to be talking about inspired and inspirational conversations. So with that, you can hear me live every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern right here on iom.fm. This is Angela Levesque wishing you love and light. I'll be back in a couple of weeks.